Father, in the name of Jesus, I come into your presence right now, Father. And I just ask you, Lord, to just fill my mouth with your words today. Lord, I don't know what to say to people, but I know that one word spoken from your sweet Holy Spirit can set the captives free, can heal lives, can restore lives, can just do mighty, mighty things. And I thank you for what you're going to do here today. And I give you all praise, I give you all glory, and I give you all honor. Because there's no other name given amongst men whereby we can be saved other than the name of Jesus. And Father, I just ask you to just move and have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. The title to my sermon today is Gathering Together. And if you want to stick your finger in Ephesians, I'm going to be coming out of the first chapter of Ephesians today. And Ephesians 1:3-14 is where I'm going to go. And it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And you know, the word places is in italicized there, so it's not it really in the original. So he's blessed us in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Do you know you're holy? Do you know that? Yes. You're holy. You might not feel holy today. You might feel very unholy. But that isn't what his word says. You're holy. And you know why you're holy? Because he says you are. It's that simple. And whatever he says is what it is. You know? But you're holy, and I guess I'll tell you something else. You're without blame. You know, if you listen to the world out there today, everybody's blaming everybody else for all the problems. Blame, 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 blame. That's all you hear. But I'm going to tell you what. You're without blame. And you're without blame because you're before him in love. And he loves you. And he's forgiven you for everything that you've done in the past, for everything you've done in the present, and for everything that you're going to do in the future. And that doesn't mean you're going to go out and have a big party now. But I'm going to tell you what, you're before him without blame. Verse 5 says, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. I love that. You know, he has put you in a place to where he is showing you his will, and he wants you to get willing to be willing. And when you get willing to be willing, guess what? It's his good pleasure to begin to show you what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. And it says, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to his good pleasure of his will. And when it says he has predestined, when somebody's predestined, that means he designed it beforehand. You think you chose him. But I got news for you. He chose you. He chose you before the foundation of the world. He knew exactly the day, the moment, the hour that he was going to reach down by his Holy Spirit and get a hold of you. And I tell you what, my mother used to tell me when I was a young boy, she'd say, son, don't get too entangled in the world. God's going to require some things of you someday. I used to hate when she said that to me. I absolutely hated it because I think, she probably knows what I'm doing. You know, but I tell you what, she was right. She was absolutely right. And you know, you know, That when it says he's predestinated us, that means he's designed it beforehand unto the adoption of children. And that means, that word adoption of children means a placing as a son. You know, you don't see it as much now as you used to years ago, but I had a friend in the neighborhood that I lived in. You know, I lived over in Mount Auburn growing up, you know, downtown. And in the neighborhood I lived in, there wasn't a whole lot of real fancy places over there. I lived on Sycamore Hill coming up the hill there and grew up there, you know, and it was just old tenement houses and all that kind of stuff. And there wasn't too many businesses over in there. There was a couple of little stores and this and that. But we had one friend over there who, his dad had a small construction company. And he had a sign that hung up over the construction company, and the sign said, and the man's name was Frank Carino. It said, Frank Carino and Son. And you know what that meant? That meant that someday, if everything went right, the son was going to inherit everything that the dad had. And you know what? I'm going to tell you what. When Jesus looks at you and the Father looks at Jesus, which they're one, he says of Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then Jesus says, yeah, well, what about my sons? Put their name over the door too. And you know, Jesus, when he prayed his high priestly prayer in the Gospel of John, he said, Father, I pray that they might be one as you and I are one, me and you, and you and me and them. And then the world will believe. The world's not going to believe until we stand up as one in him. You know, there's a lot of division out there today, but I tell you what, I'm seeing signs of where God is going to start bringing things together. And he's going to start breaking down the walls and all this stuff because people don't have the answers for their problems out there. And we know that the only answer is Jesus Christ. And, you know, he has placed you as a son. He's put your name up over the door. And I want you to know that you're going to inherit everything that is his, you know. And in Romans 8:29-31, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And I'm going to tell you what, no matter what's going on out there in the world today, no matter what's happening with you, you might feel like there's a lot of things going against you today. But I'm going to tell you what, God's for you. Amen. He's for you today. And brothers and sisters, if he's for you, then who can be against you? No one. And verse 6 says, for to the praise of his glory and of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things. How many is all things? All things. You mean he's going to gather together all things? He's going to gather together all things. And where is he going to gather them at? In Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. Praise God. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, if you don't have that underlined in your Bible, underline that in your Bible. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh how many things?
All things
after the counsel of his own will. Now, I'm going to tell you what, there's a scripture that says that he is not willing that any should perish. Now, if he works all things after the counsel of his own will, guess what? There's not any that's going to really perish, because he's going to reconcile them unto himself. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses. You know who needs to quit in putting their trespasses to them? The church, the Christian folk. They need to quit telling everybody what a bad sinner they are, and they need to start telling them the magnificent thing that Christ did for them, that he set them free, that he set the captives free, that they're free, and whom the Lord sets free is free indeed, and that they don't have to be bound in these things. They don't have to be beat down all the time. They can actually have a surpassing victory in him. And it says in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. In Colossians 1:26-28 says, even the mystery which hath been hidden from the ages and from the generations, but now is manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory and of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ out yonder somewhere, not Christ behind Mars, not Christ behind the moon, but Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. And I'm going to tell you what. Underline this in your Bible if you don't have it. That we may present every man perfect in Christ. Yes, how many men?
Every
man. God has some high expectations.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you what. He wants to present every man. Paul was reaching out for every man. You know, in Galatians, there's a scripture that says, when you see a man overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. It didn't say when you see a man overtaken in a fault, point a finger and say, boy, look at him. Oh, he's terrible. Look what he did. It says, restore. I got news for you, folks. He's calling us to be restorers of the breach. He's calling us to be people who bring restoration into this earth, not condemnation. And until we begin to start turning this thing around, it's going to stay out of course. We were talking out of Psalm 82 back there this morning, and you know, he said, "I have said, you're gods and sons of the Most High." He said, but you die like men. Why do you die like men? Because you're letting the earth be out of course. Because you're not realizing who and what you are in Christ. You know, Scripture says, each seed after its own kind. You know, if I take some little kernels of corn out there in the field and plow up the ground a little bit and throw them in the ground and cover them up with dirt, and I come back, say 3-4 weeks later, there ain't going to be an apple tree out there. There's going to be a stalk of corn. It's going to start growing, and it's going to grow fast. And you know, it's funny that he used the word corn or wheat, you know, because wheat and corn grow very quickly. And you know, I drive down this road a lot because I live in this area, and I drive down this road a lot, and they plant that corn. And I'm not kidding you. It seems like it grows a foot overnight sometimes. I'll drive down through there, and it'll be that tall. And I'll come down the next day, and it looks like it's that tall, you know. And corn grows very, very quickly. And you know what? I believe we should be growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ very, very quickly.
Because if we'll acknowledge him in all of our ways, we'll trust in him, lean not to our own understanding, but acknowledge him in all of our ways, we'll find that we'll grow by leaps and bounds. And you know, creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, waiting for the full disclosing of the sons of God to come forth, like it says in Romans, the 8th chapter. And you know, it doesn't say the Son of God, it says the sons of God. You know, a lot of people, like I've said before, they'll talk about being born again, and they don't even know what being born again is. You know, if you're born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, the only thing that seed can bring forth, each seed after its own kind, is God. God in you. That's the only thing it can bring forth. And we need to quit looking at the other situations that we see rise up in our life and begin to acknowledge, just acknowledge God, and begin to say, Lord, I'm going to claim what your word declares, not what I see with my natural eyes. You know. You know, it says here, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory and the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus and in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to read that to you out of the Message Bible. And out of the Message Bible, it says it like this. He thought of everything, providing for everything we could possibly need. That's pretty good. I like that. Letting us in on his plans, he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in the deepest heaven, everything on the planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. You wonder who you are? You know, there's a lot of mistaken identity out there today. People don't know who they are. They're grasping around. I mean, you know, they're looking for some kind of identity. And I'm going to tell you what. Their true identity is in Christ Jesus. It says, it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us and had designs on us for glorious living. And I'm going to tell you what, he had his eye on you. You know, that old song that we all used to sing, you know, his eyes on the sparrow, for I know he watches me. You know, he watches you, folks. He watches you. He is your source. He is your supply. He is your all in all. You know, I remember hearing an old preacher tell a story one time that, you know, he was living out in the country, and he said that, you know, he was running short on his finances, and he said he had a certain brother that used to send him money all the time. And he said he went in his prayer closet and he began to pray and he said, oh, Lord, have brother so-and-so send me some money. Have brother so-and-so send me some money because I ain't got no money. You know, and it's kind of funny because as he told the story, I could just visualize this so good because my uncle lived in a place just like he described. He said, I got in the car and I drove down this old gravel road and I turned and went across this other gravel road. And then there was railroad tracks, and I went across the railroad tracks, and that man, that's describing where my uncle used to live. I used to go out there and spend summers there, and I'm thinking, hey, was that my uncle? and he said, and I drove on out, and he said, and I got out to the road, and he said, now the Lord said, now just wait. And he said, I sat there, and he said, I looked down the road, and he said, Lord, I don't see anything. He said, the Lord said, now you just wait and watch. And he said, well, Lord, I still don't see nothing. And he said in a few minutes he saw this tractor coming down the road, real slow, just poking down the road. He said, Lord, I still don't see nothing. He said, just wait. And he said the tractor drove past him. He said 2 ears of corn fell off the tractor. And he said, Lord, I still don't see nothing. He said, just wait. He said a car came by and hit that corn scattered it all over the highway. And he said, Lord, I still don't see nothing. He said, just wait. He said, all of a sudden, all the birds just flew right in, and landed and started eating up the corn. And he said, and then the Lord said to him, you see how I love the birds? He said, son, I'm your source, not brother so-and-so. And he said, I went into my post office box, and he said, when I went in there, he said, there was money in there, but it wasn't from brother so-and-so. And, you know, I'm telling you what, folks, God has a plan for you. He is your source. He is your healing. He is your all in all. He is everything that you need. You don't need anything else. I don't care what companies you're working for. I don't care what's going on out there financially or not going on out there financially. You know, David said, once I was young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. And I'm going to tell you what, if you trust in God, He will meet you every time. He will give you everything you need to fulfill the ministries that He's called you to do. And just be obedient and do what He tells you to do. And I'm going to tell you what, it's usually going to be something entirely different from what you thought. I know when I first got saved, I got a prophetic word from this old brother, and his word was that the Lord had called me to be a prophet unto the nations, you know. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't go whizzing off and thinking, boy, I'm going to jump on a plane and start flying all over the place. Matter of fact, the Lord had given me a vision when I was younger and showed me standing behind a pulpit, and I hadn't even given my life to the Lord at that point yet. Showed me standing behind a pulpit, and I'm thinking, boy, that's not me. That ain't me. I can't do that, Lord. I can't do that. And, you know, because I was kind of a backward type person. I was not real aggressive, you know. And, and I'll share this for anybody that doesn't know. When I was a kid, when I was 9 years old, I had epilepsy for 3 years. And I had seizures in school and seizures out in public and stuff. And God healed me of that. He told my mother, you know, she was in praying one time, and this was back during the 50s, and buddy, this is back when all the tent ministries and all the healing ministries were going all across the country and all that stuff, and I seen some of the biggest ones that were around back then. I was in A.A. Allen meetings with her when I was a little boy and stuff, and, you know, and William Branham, you know, different ones. I mean, I went and seen a lot of them with her until I got a little older, and then I wasn't behaving myself too good, so I got guilty and wouldn't go with her no more when she'd asked me to go. But you know what? She never felt led to take me forward. And she come out of the back room one time after she was praying, and I could hear her back there praying. And she said, son, if I know the voice of the Lord, you'll never have another seizure. God told me He's healing you. And you know what? He did. He made me walk out of it by faith, because I would still feel like I was going to have a seizure, but I never did. And I basically would say, she'd have me quote 2 Timothy verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And she'd say, tell the devil he's a liar. Right. And I'd say that over and over and over until all those feelings would go away. And they went away. And I've shared this, and like I say, for the sake of this tape, I'll go ahead and finish the story. And after when I was about 14, 15 years old, I went to bed one night, and I had a visitation of the Lord. He showed me standing behind a pulpit speaking. And I thought, man, that ain't me. Because I'm telling you what, having had seizures in public, I didn't want to get up in front of people. I didn't even like to go in restaurants and eat. You know, and it was years and years before I'd even go in a restaurant and eat. Margaret can tell you, when we first started going together, when the kids were little, we'd go somewhere where I could go through the drive-thru, because I didn't like to go in restaurants, because I've, you know, felt insecure in them places, because I'd had seizures out in the public. But God had healed me. And after I got saved, we'd had a prayer meeting on a Tuesday night, and I hadn't said anything to any of the brothers about having had epilepsy. And this one old brother came over to me and he said, "Brother Oscar," he said, "the Lord keeps speaking the word epilepsy to me." He said, "Do you have epilepsy?" I said, "No." He said, "Did you have it?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Do you have a fear of it?" I said, "Yes." And I'm going to tell you what, anytime you get a little tingling, I'll tell you exactly what it feels like if you're going to have a seizure. When they shoot you and numb your, when you go to the dentist, that's exactly what it feels like. You start, your mouth starts getting numb, and before long you have a seizure and you lose control of yourself. So anytime I'd get a little tingle in my mouth or anything like that, my stomach would just roll up in a knot almost, you know. And he said, "God wants you to confess that that's gone." And you know, that was on a Tuesday night, men's prayer meeting. On Wednesday night, I came back for the regular prayer meeting, and I was very backward about getting up and saying anything. I'd only been saved for about a year or so. And you know what? I stood up that night, and Brother Eddie asked, "Anybody have a testimony?" I said, "Yeah, I do," and I was reluctantly to do it. And I stood up, and I said, and I felt like I was going to have a seizure when I stood up. And I said, "I want to thank God for taking the fear of epilepsy away from me." And it was gone as soon as I said that. It never returned, and it's never came back, and there's no fear. But I'm going to tell you what, the perfect love will cast out all fear. And I'm going to tell you, was that a terrible thing to go through as a kid? Yeah, it was. But I'll tell you what, it gave me empathy. When I see people hurting, I understand. When I see people that feel like they're not part of the crowd at times, I know exactly how they feel because I felt that same way. And you know, I went through a lot of things with that. I mean, but it's one of those situations where, you know what, God is your source. He is your ever-present help in time of need. And I'm going to tell you what, it's time for the body of Christ to start growing up. We need to start claiming what God's word declares about us, not what our situations and circumstances declare. And I'm going to tell you, if we'll do that, we'll find that God will do some miraculous, wonderful, mighty things, and he'll show himself mighty out there in a lot of situations and circumstances. Creation's groaning and travailing, waiting for that manifestation. And when it says manifestation, that word literally means to take the lid off. He's waiting for us to get willing to take the lid off and let God arise and his enemies be scattered, like Clive was saying. And you know what? He's going to arise. You know, in Isaiah chapter 60, it says, "Arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." You know, and he goes ahead and he says, and kings shall come to the brightness of your rising. And I'm going to tell you what, the kings out there of the world, they don't have the answers. And they're going to come and begin to say to the church, "God's in you of a surety. What's the answer?" Because I tell you what, if they're not seeking God, they don't have the answer. None of them. I don't care who they are. None of them do. They ain't got the total answer. But I tell you what, the only answer is Jesus Christ. And you know, we need to realize that in Christ we find out who we are and what we're living for. And long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us and had designs on us for a glorious living. You know, Jesus, when he prayed his high priestly prayer, I call it in the Gospel of John, and he prayed that we would be one as he was one with the Father, we'd be one with him. He said, "Father, the glory that you've given to me, I've given it to them. Now glorify me with the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world." You know what the glory he had with the Father before the foundation of the world was? He was the Father. He was the Father in totality. Because, you know, If you remember, after he was resurrected from the dead, I believe it was Thomas who was doubting Thomas, we call him, or whatever. And Jesus had appeared to him. And when he appeared to him, you know, he wasn't there. And when they told him that Jesus had appeared to him, he said, "Well, unless I can stick my finger in his nail prints and thrust my hand in his side, where he had been stuck with the spear," he said,
I won't believe. So what happens? Jesus walks through the wall. He loves us, folks. Even in our doubts, He loves us. He loves us enough to prove Himself. But I tell you what, He loves us even better when He doesn't have to prove Himself to us. And He said, Thomas, stick your finger here and put it in the nail print. Thrust your hand in my side. And He said, you believe because you've seen. He said, blessed is he that hasn't seen and believes. And I'm going to tell you what, folks. You guys are going to be a blessing in the earth. You know, and He's blessed you in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. And He's sent you to be a blessing in the earth. You know, He calls us kings and priests unto God. And kings and priests in the Old Testament, the only king priest that there ever was in the Old Testament was Melchizedek. He was king of righteousness. He was king of peace, king of Salem. And we know that that was a type of Jesus Christ. And when He calls us kings and priests, which He calls us that, He says you're a royal generation, you're a holy nation, that you should show forth the praises of Him that called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And when He calls us kings and priests, we have to begin to fulfill the same ministry that Melchizedek had in the Old Testament. You know what Melchizedek did? When he met Abraham, he blessed him. He blessed him. He didn't say, bless me. You hear the preachers nowadays, they're saying, God told me that this person over in this section is going to give me $500 and this and that. And he didn't say, bless me. Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Yes, he was a blessing. And he brought forth bread and wine. And gave them bread and wine. Let me tell you what, when Jesus came down to this earth, He was the bread which came down from heaven. He said, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and they're dead. He said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. As He is in this world, so are we. Scripture says that. So what does that mean? That means you have to begin to become the bread for the person that needs it. And you give them the bread of life. You give them the excitement. You give them the joy of the Lord. You give them the prayers and the praise of God. And you begin to minister to them out of what you have. You know, there's a scripture that tells us that we're not to despise the day of small things. And I'm going to tell you what, sometimes the small thing is that God is telling you that maybe your next door neighbor, you just need to say, hey, God loves you and I love you. Is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything I can do for you? Do you need some help? Or can I help you do this or help you do that or whatever? And I'm going to tell you what, a lot of times, you know, it's just the little things that'll touch somebody's heart, that'll change them. But if you despise this day of small things in the Lord, if the Lord tells you to get up and go across the aisle and hug some sister or brother that you maybe don't get along with real well, do it. Do it. Because I tell you what, if you don't do the little things, you'll never do the greater things. He'll never let you do the greater things. He won't send you to the world leaders. He won't send you to the atheist or to the racist or to the whatever that needs to be released from the bondage that they're in or whatever's going on. But I tell you what, if you'll do the little stuff, then you'll find that God will begin to send you forth to do mightier and mightier and mightier things. You know, David was out in the wilderness and he slew the lion and the bear. Nobody saw him slay the lion and the bear. He was just a young boy out there tending the sheep. Let me tell you what, the anointing of the Lord was on that man. The anointing of the Lord was on him. He slew the lion and the bear. And then when his father sent him down
to where Goliath was standing out in the valley railing against the armies of God. And I tell you what, there's a lot of people that rail against the armies of God out there, a whole lot of them. And I tell you, Saul, who was the tallest man in the camp, was head and shoulders above all the other guys. I mean, that means it would be like me standing next to Shaq, you know. He's that much bigger than me. You know, if there was a fight, I'd probably say, oh, you do it, buddy. You know, but he was hiding in the tent. But let me tell you what. David came down to bring some stuff to his brothers. And when he came down to bring some stuff from his father to his brothers, guess what happened? He heard him railing against the armies of God. And he basically was saying, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he thinks he can talk about God like that? You know. And what did his brothers say to him? Here comes that little pesky kid again, you know. Who does he think he is? You know. And he was the only one that would step forward and go out and fight Goliath. And when he stepped forward, they took him to Saul. And guess what Saul did? Saul wanted to put his armor on David. Folks, you can't wear somebody else's armor. You can only wear the armor that God has placed on you. He has a special anointing on you. He has you in a special place. I can't do the things that you can do. You can't do the things that I can do. But I tell you what, if we'll all move and do what God tells us to do, we'll turn this world upside down. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. His Christ, you know who that is? That's you all. His Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But anyway, when he went out, what's he do? He goes down and he picks up 5 smooth round stones out of the brook, takes his sling. Giant Goliath's standing out there, and he's got a spear that's big as a beaver, weaver's beam, you know, great big spear. And the way the scripture describes him, he was over 9 feet tall. He was bigger than all these basketball players even. 9 feet tall, pretty big dude, you know. And David went out and told him, he said, you know, you come at me with the sword and the spear, but I come at you in the name of the Lord. And he took that one of those 5 smooth round stones, one, only one, it only took one, out of his bag, and he slung that thing, and he hit that giant right between the eyes, right between the eyes. Where does the giant situations in your life dwell? Right between your eyes, because you say, I can't do that, God. I can't believe that you're going to heal me. I can't believe that you want me to sing, or that you want me to do this, or you want me to do that. I really don't want to do that. Well, tell you what, he took them 5 smooth round stones, and 5 is the number for grace. 5 is the number for ministry, for the hand. And he gave 5 ministries for the edifying of the body of Christ: apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. 5-fold ministry given to edify the body of Christ, to build them up, that they might go out and do the work of the ministry. You know who that means? All of you all. When I come in here and I speak to you, you know what I'm doing? I'm trying to build you up that you can go out and do the work of the ministry, because you're going to minister to people I'll never see. You know people that I'll never come in contact with. And God's got you right where He wants you. And you might say, oh, but I don't know about that. He's got you right where He wants you. If He knew you before the foundation of the world and He predestined you to be conformed to the image of His Son, then I'll tell you what. He knew all the bad situations you was going to be in. He knew all the troubles you was going to have. And He's got you right where He wants you right now. And you can do one of 2 things. You can mumble and grumble and complain. Or you can praise and worship and thank the Lord and walk through whatever situation you're in with victory, with grace, with power, and with might. There's a scripture that says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be harmless and blameless, the sons of God, amidst a crooked and perverse nation, to whom you shine forth as lights in the world. Now, I'm going to tell you what. If you're mumbling and grumbling and complaining, guess what you did? You just put a shade over the light. But if you're praising Him, you can take that shade off and let the glory of the Lord be seen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Verse 12 says that we would be praised of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom we also trusted after we heard the word of truth of the gospel of your salvation, in whom after we believed we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And I love that. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That word sealed means stamped with a signet ring. And I'm going to tell you what, in old times when the king stamped something with his signet ring, it was law. It couldn't be broken. It was going to happen no matter what. If it didn't happen, heads were going to roll. Because that's the way the king was back in them days. But the thing is, he stamped you with a signet ring. And the head he wants to roll in your life is that old carnal mind. He wants it to roll away that you might have the mind of Christ. Well, if you all stand, we'll close. That's all I had to share with you today. But I want you to know, He's gathering us together. He's wanting us to come together, and He's wanting us to begin to move and flow in Him and do what He wants us to do. You know, people don't realize when they say that we're the body of Christ. You know, body has many members. If we're the body of Christ, and in Him, you are complete. You say, but Oscar, I don't feel very complete. Doesn't make no difference. Don't make no difference what you feel like. It's what He says. Yes. He says you are complete, so you are complete. Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, Father, I just thank You for Your words, for they are spirit and life. I ask You, Father, to just encourage each one of our hearts to just move and flow with You in the little things, and just that You might increase them to the greater and greater things, because I love that old gospel song, little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. And we have to go in Your name, in Your nature, in Your character, in Your authority. And Father, just help us to be obedient and do that. And we'll be most careful to give You all praise, all glory, and all honor for everything that You've done, even with Your words here today, Father. Now, I believe not one of them will drop to the ground, because, Father, I don't know what to say to people, but Your Holy Spirit knows exactly what we need to hear. And we give You all praise and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. Cynthia, I don't know if you want to play anything or whatever, but if anybody needs prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. Just go forth this week and be obedient. Jim, did you have a word or something? If you did, give it out, buddy. Come up here. Hold on, everybody. I felt like you had a word. Just do it with this right here. That'll probably get you better.
My precious children, doesn't my word declare in Psalm 82 that I have the whole world in my hands? Yes. Where are my hands, children? You are my hands, says the Lord. I am calling on you to extend your hands to the world. Even as Peter, when he was in the boat, he took a lot of confidence in the solidness of the boat and in the safety of the boat that he was in. But he rose up, and when he saw me walking on the water and he saw my ability and my power, he said, Lord, bid me to come. And that's what I'm asking of you this morning, my children. I want you to stand up out of the solid and comfortable place where you are seated and say to me, Lord, bid me to come. Bid me to walk on the water. That's the desire that I'm looking for in your heart. And truly, as you stand up away from your security and your place of comfort and ask me to take you out of the boat so you can walk on the water with me, with my supernatural power, Truly, I will take you out of your comfort zone, but truly it will be a walk that you'll never forget, says the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Anybody else? You want prayer?